WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Happy Thursday to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program. A windy day. We heard from WPRI meteorologist TJ Del Santo this morning. He sent over the information that so far, he says the worst of the wind is probably behind us. But so far, some of the clocked wind speeds in the area, the New Bedford hurricane barrier got 50-mile-an-hour winds. The airport clocked 47-mile-an-hour winds. The Borden Flats Lighthouse in Fall River, 50 miles an hour. Well, the Borden Flats, I don't know if it was on the lighthouse per se, but Borden Flats, 50 miles an hour. In Fairhaven, 43. Dighton, 38. Wareham got 50-mile-an-hour winds. And Plymouth, 39. So these are gusts. These aren't steady winds, but these are gusts. Wind gusts up to 50 miles an hour. And you could hear it. You could probably feel it. If you were out and about, you were dealing with it. I went to the store after I left here yesterday at about, I left around 5:30 or so. And when I went to go over to the store and I opened up the door to my car, it blew right back on me. You know, I opened the door and then it's weird. Sometimes I open the door first and then I take my seatbelt off, and that's what I was doing. So I was taking my seatbelt off, and as I was like reaching over to unbuckle, the door just slammed shut on me. I was like, oh, wow. So, and it's still a little bit windy out there. We're still getting some pretty strong gusts, but TJ says the worst of it is behind us. So hopefully you didn't have any damage to your home, your property, your vehicle. But we are in still, you know, that stormy season. We're gonna get winds. We're gonna get rainstorms. We're gonna get all kinds of different types of mixture of weather. Now, I'm sure the meteorologists love it, but for the rest of us, not so fun. So we have a lot that we can discuss today. You know, I heard, you know, Skeddy had asked about the voter turnout in previous elections. And what's funny is I was looking that back up, and I actually got the information pretty quickly, but just forgot to mention it on the air. But I found in a previous story that the turnout in the last mayoral election, so the last time that the mayor was on the ballot along with the council, the voter turnout was 13%. So it was only about 2 percentage points higher than it was. It was like 13 point something. So it was only a couple of, you know, about 2 percentage points higher than it was this past Tuesday. So having the mayor at the top of the ticket only boosted voter turnout 2% between last time and this time. Now, it's not a necessarily fair comparison, because I don't think that the mayoral race was very intriguing for people in 2023. Mayor Mitchell was running against Tyson Moultrie for the second time. If I remember correctly, and I could be wrong, but I actually think that the second go-around for Tyson Moultrie was less of a campaign than the first time. You know, remember he famously showed up here and with Chris and Marcus, and they put him on the air and didn't go so well. But I don't recall that being a particularly heated race between the two. And the final vote, you know, showed that. So maybe it was also the fact that there wasn't a viable challenger in a lot of people's eyes. So they didn't bother to come out to vote. They're like, Mayor Mitchell's going to win. I don't need to go out and vote. But if that's the difference in the turnout between a mayoral and a non-mayoral municipal election, it doesn't really do much to bolster the argument for the folks that want to see the mayoral term go back to 2 years in terms of the voter turnout aspect of it. You know, if you wanted to say, well, we wouldn't have this 11% voter turnout if the mayor was on the ballot. Nah, I don't know. I don't think it would be that much better based on that. Now, if you had a really heated race, if you had a strong challenger maybe, you know, Mayor Mitchell decides not to run again and you've got two people vying for the seat for the first time, I mean, then, yeah, I could see it being a more driving force for people to get out and vote. But I think this is just your level of voter apathy. And again, you can call back the voter, you know, the voting rolls. I think that there's probably too many names on there. And I'm sure that'll get done eventually, but you can pull back some of those names, but how many are you going to knock back? You know, let's say out of 74,000, you get 4,000 people off. You know, 4,000 people that passed away and nobody alerted the election commission. You know, it's not exactly something that you do when you're dealing with the final paperwork for someone. So let's just say you pulled back, you know, 4,000 people off of that list. You're still at 70%, and the voter turnout isn't going to go up that much, maybe a point or two. So if this is the level of apathy for New Bedford voters, well, then what? Because now you can't say, well, you know, the numbers aren't accurate. Then you can't say, well, you need to have a marquee race at the top. I mean, I don't foresee getting beyond 25%, maybe ever, for a municipal election. I mean, look at when we've had the presidential elections. Turnouts are better, but still not great. So if this is the level of voter apathy, well, no wonder Boston doesn't pay attention. And if the city, the mayor, the election commission, if they thought the problem was, well, we just got to do a better job of letting people know about it, well, they've done that. I think they've done quite a bit to increase people knowing about elections. So I think that effort has been strong, and I think, you know, the effort that they're paying with letting the younger generation know about municipal elections and getting involved in them, that will pay off, you know, down the line. But still, I think you're at a level of just voter apathy where, you know, 15% might not be even realistic. Because it's funny, 100% of registered voters in New Bedford want to complain about things, but only 11% of them, or in the last mayoral election, 13% of them want to come out and actually do something about it. So how do you address that? That I don't know. We certainly do our part here in informing and discussing. You know, you can say, well, for better or worse, at least we're having the conversations and we're a place where people can learn and discuss and get motivated to get out and vote, but where else is that happening? You know, the newspaper can cover it all that they want. Nobody reads the newspaper anymore. And you can say, well, they don't get it delivered, of course, but they can always go online and read it. Yeah, but then they hit a paywall and they don't want to pay for it. They can go to New Bedford Light and they can get coverage for free. You know, they run based on, they're hoping that you'll make a donation. But I don't know that that's enough. Colin Hogan has an analysis piece today in New Bedford Light about why James Roy and Scott Pemberton were able to win their races and why councilors did as well as they did, or, you know, relatively speaking, because, again, we're talking about an 11% turnout. But he talked about, you know, the influence of, he mentions two big factors in it. One is WBSM advertising, which, of course, you know, we're always going to tell you works. But then also, the most basic, simple, tried and true method of all, door knocking. And it talks in the story about how James Roy and Scott Pemberton probably each went out and knocked on 1,000 doors or more. But yet still 11% turnout. Granted, they got the votes they needed, but still, there weren't the doors that they knocked on. I don't think they really necessarily motivated enough new people to vote. You know, again, mission accomplished for them. They got elected. But in terms of motivating new people or people that had given up on voting to come out, I just think this is the level of apathy we're at. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. How are you doing this morning?
Good. How are you?
Well, I have a comment regarding the apathy. I think a lot of it has to do with the lack of live coverage on election night. Mm-hmm. I've been involved since 1971, and it was always exciting to hear the play-by-play from the radio station and from cable TV, and it got people involved a lot more than listening to Mark Levin with his distorted facts on election night. Now, we got 2 years before the next municipal election, which I think is going to be one of the most interesting ones in a long time. And I'm just wondering if there can be a programmatic change at the radio station to cover that election live. It adds excitement.
It's doubtful. It's doubtful. We don't have the people to do it.
Well, maybe there's something in the corporate and that could allow for it, because, you know, it increases apathy when you turn on the radio election night, a general election in the city, an important one, particularly in mayor's races and full council and full school committee and sometimes presidential elections involved in it. And you can't get any results until the following morning. I mean, there's that space and time there that doesn't allow for interested people anyway.
Hold on. Because interested people knew what these results were as they were happening. I mean, New Bedford Cable Access was running a live Facebook coverage, and they went to Manny DiBrito's office as he was making the announcement live. People that follow New Bedford Light on their social media saw it immediately. The problem is the way that this information gets delivered has changed. And so it's up to the people that are interested to go with that change.
Yeah, but what happens if, like myself, I don't do computers. I've never been on Facebook. I've never been on TikTok or any of those things.
I'm not trying to be disrespectful, Tom, but what you're saying is I want the radio station to come in and put somebody on the air for 3 or 4 hours to fill that time for me.
For all the people that in my category. I'm saying for the general population of New Bedford, so they would switch away from the New Bedford Light and listen for the live coverage.
Let me ask you this too.
Sure.
The people that are going to tune in on election night are also the people that are going to be listening all the rest of the time. We're not going to get new listeners on election night that tune in that don't normally listen to the station. That's just not the reality of it.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that, Jim. I think those people, you know, like say you get 100 people in your campaign. You know, I can picture the campaign headquarters like in the past, where people were actually listening to the radio to see what precinct by precinct by precinct, and it added excitement to election night. You don't get that with the format that you currently have.
I mean, listen, I don't want you to get me wrong. My preference is 100% what you're saying. That is 100% my preference. I'm just saying the reality of the situation is I don't think, as they say, the juice is worth the squeeze.
Wow. Well, I'm not to disagree with you there.
Yeah, no, I mean to make that case to whoever has to, you know, fund this and make this happen. And again, you know, who's going to do it? Me? I got to get up the next day at 4 a.m. You know, like that. Yeah, it's
I get it. I get that part.
And I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm kind of the only reporter that we have now. So
I know, but the idea is you got to be paying for the app for Mark Levine. Why you just eliminate that for election night? I mean, it seems pretty simple to me. I turned on the radio and I wasn't thinking of what happened last time. And sure enough, it's Mr. Levine again with his distortions. And I was like, wow. You know, so I started thinking about it, and I started thinking about the past elections, and I've been in 12 of them, and it was a lot more exciting, and that decreases the apathy. And I understand what you're saying, you know, it's a new format and stuff like that, but I think with 2 years to go, I'd like to see that change, if I will.
I mean, you know what could be a possibility? See, the hard part is you can't really know what time the results are going to come down. You know, like you hope it's going to come down by 9:30. It was a little bit later this time around. But maybe one possibility, since I've got to be up anyway to write the story, maybe what it can be is, you know, there's a little, you know, we can leave some commercial space in so that we can do like a live report. You know, it'd only be like a 1 minute thing, but we could do a live report or 1 or 2 minute thing. So at least we can get it out there over the air. That might be something we can consider.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Anyway, that's my 2 cents for today, and I'm sticking to it.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not trying to be dismissive of the idea. That would be my preference. I'd love it if we had somebody at City Hall that could call in, and or, you know, we actually could broadcast from City Hall. We don't have to be here. Especially now, I can take calls from anywhere. But if I'm writing the story, I can't also be anchoring the coverage. And, you know, Chris McCarthy, elections are on a Tuesday. I don't want to get into all of Chris's stuff, but, you know, he's not available on Tuesday nights. He's wiped out on Tuesday nights. Barry admittedly says he doesn't pay enough attention to local elections because he doesn't care, because nobody else cares. He said that yesterday on the air. That's not a slight against Barry. That's, you know, he's saying that if nobody else is going to care, why should he care? You know, so what are we down to? So it just, I don't think there's an appetite for it necessarily. And while I would love to have it, I would love to be able to do that as a public service. I just don't think that it's something that would be necessarily viable. And then when it comes to presidential elections, you know, things like that, well, we can always go to national coverage for that. So, but believe me, I would much rather have something local on than listening to Mark Levin yell about whatever he's yelling about that day. Mr. Producer, can you believe it, Mr. Producer? It's the Islamists and the communists, Mr. Producer. Okay, I should take a break here. Let me take one more call here before I take the break. Good morning, you're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
Just to echo Tom, behind Tom, perhaps you had Paul Santos was doing something live down at City Hall. Perhaps you could tap into his feed when he's going live.
He does that for a competitor.
Okay. Well, that's
Paul is a man that wears many hats. He's doing things for a lot of different people.
Yeah, understandable. Well, what about the feed that comes in from the cable access?
I mean, that's something that could be discussed. But again, somebody's got to be here to make that happen. Somebody has to physically, you know, be here to maneuver all that.
Okay, well, maybe I have to go ahead and volunteer to be taught how to do that so I can come in and do that for you fine folks. Because it was the same thing with me. I did pop onto the radio, and I was like, oh, no, I can't get it there. I you know, have access to the other things, too. But I just thought perhaps there was something going to be on the radio. And, and I heard just what you just said. That was very good, by the way.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
All right. And I don't mean to insult Mark Levin. It's you know, obviously, it's not my cup of tea. But I know a lot of you out there like it. But every time I hear it, like, you know, if I get in the car and it's on or whatever, if I'm tuning into the station at home and it's on, I just, every time I hear his voice, I just have to be like, Mr. Producer. Listen, Mark's got his shtick. It works. All right, let me take a break here, then we'll get the news, and we can talk more with you, 508-996-0500.
Wake up weekday mornings with the Tim Weisberg Show, 1420 AM and 99.5 FM, WBSM.
Cuts at American Airlines, certain scents triggering migraines, and fake one-star reviews flooding Philadelphia area restaurants.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
American Airlines says it plans to reduce its management and support staff in order to optimize its performance and efficiency. The airline announced that most of the cuts will be made in Texas, where the carrier is based in Fort Worth. A statement referred to the layoffs as a small reduction, but did not say how many employees will be affected or when the cuts will happen. Meanwhile, America's transportation secretary is warning that some of the airspaces could close if the government shutdown continues.
Secretary Sean Duffy warns there will be mass chaos, including widespread flight delays and cancellations, if the government shutdown continues into next week. Duffy said there simply aren't enough air traffic controllers to manage it all, as many are calling in sick rather than work with no pay. Travelers have faced flight delays and hours-long security lines as airports try to deal with staffing issues caused by the shutdown. I'm Rory O'Neill.
Multiple restaurants in Philadelphia are reporting a wave of fake one-star reviews on Google. At least nine independently owned restaurants throughout the city received dozens of fraudulent reviews, and at least one restaurant had a reviewer asking to be paid to take down the posts. The Federal Trade Commission passed a ruling last year banning fake reviews, which allows the agency to seek civil penalties of up to $50,000 per post. The restaurant owners have reported the reviews and say that they just want to see Google put more strict measures in place for people to be able to post. A University of Arkansas professor is part of the team of researchers that have discovered ancient stone tools in Kenya. Amelia Villasenor is an associate professor of anthropology at the U of A. The team recently recovered stone tools from three distinct layers of the Turkana Basin. The discovery shows a tradition of continuous tool use spanning from 2.75 million to just over 2.4 million years ago. Fall is the time for cozy scents, including cinnamon and pumpkin spice, but a headache specialist at the Cleveland Clinic says you should be cautious if you suffer from osmophobia, which is an extreme sensitivity to odors.
Scents and what we call osmophobia tends to be a critical trigger for a lot of those who have migraines. Sound is another one, light is another one, but scents specifically.
Dr. Ahmad Estemalik says many scented products, including candles, air fresheners, and perfumes, can trigger migraines by activating pain nerves in the head. He says if you get migraines, try to avoid triggers and make sure to take your migraine medication at the correct times. Instagram being ordered to stop using PG-13 to describe its new teen accounts. The Motion Picture Association reportedly sent a cease and desist letter to Instagram's parent company Meta over the use of the rating. It said the claims the new setting is guided by the PG-13 rating is false and highly misleading. The MPA said it can't be aligned with its rating system because it doesn't use the same curated process and instead heavily relies on artificial intelligence. It argued that any dissatisfaction with the Instagram setting would cause the public to question the integrity of the Motion Picture Association's rating system. The Mega Millions jackpot is now up to $843 million. No grand prize winner in Tuesday night's big drawing, so the next chance to strike it rich will come around tomorrow. Soccer legend David Beckham has been honored with a knighthood ceremony. The 50-year-old former England captain received knighthood status at Windsor Castle on Tuesday for his services to sports and charity after he was named on King Charles's birthday honors list earlier this year. Beckham represented England 115 times and was captain for 59 games, which is an accomplishment only two other players have surpassed.
WBSM Sports, brought to you by John C. Law.
Celtics with a big win over the Wizards at the Garden last night, 136-107. The Seas travel to Orlando for a game tomorrow night. And the Bruins host the Ottawa Senators tonight at 7.
Now your WPRI 12 forecast. Brought to you by the Ultimate Men's Clinic.
Sunshine today, dry, strong gusts early in the morning, diminishing by noontime with a high of 53. Clear, dry, colder tonight, low temp down to 32. Partly sunny on Friday, milder with a high near 60. For WBSM, I'm 12 News Chief Meteorologist Tony Petracca.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
Welcome back in 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We did get a couple of app chat messages. NB resident says the city should have those robocalls on election day and maybe when early elections open. They do it for marathons and for parking, so why not elections? I also noticed the police are using them now for missing folks. We had two missing people last week. Of course, the 85-year-old gentleman who was found, and apparently, we don't have this confirmed, but a lot of, the online scuttlebutt was that he was found deceased, but nothing from the police on that, nothing from the DA's office on that, and I reached out to the DA's office and asked them for confirmation on it, but the DA's office is really, really terrible about answering emails. They'll send out emails, but they don't respond to emails. They don't respond to inquiries, which is a relatively new thing. Before I would, when Greg Milioti was there, I would send in a request and get an answer back. Now I send something back, I get nothing. So I don't have any more information on that for you, but they've been sending out, the police have been sending out those calls as well. And it's not just a robocall system either. It's also you get an email and a text message, too, if you're signed up for those through the city's alerts. So they have a lot of different ways to reach people. But they can tell people all they want about the election. It just doesn't seem like people want to get out and vote. So I would just venture a guess that more than 4,000 registered voters in New Bedford listen to, or what was the final number? I think it was 8,000. Let me pull up the numbers. Hold on a second. 8,390 voters, votes cast. Ballots cast, I should say. So let's just call it 8,400 people went out and voted. All right. I would think that there are more than 8,400 registered voters in New Bedford that listen to the station. So that means even people that listen to the station weren't motivated to go out and vote. I don't know what else you can do. You can't say, well, we're just tired of the same old candidates, because you didn't have that this year. You had an open at-large seat. You had challengers in three of the ward races. So there's certainly the possibility for change there. But there, you know, there's always the possibility for change because you've always got challengers running against the at-large candidates. So you always have the capacity for change, whether or not you think that those people have a shot. If you get out and vote and at least show that they can have a strong showing, like if you look at the numbers comparatively, you had a couple of people who were challenging for those seats who did have a strong showing and have, you know, good reason to come back and try again. You go out and vote, even if you think that they don't have a chance of winning, casting that vote for them could encourage them to run for another time. And then with more name recognition, you know, other councillors have taken many bites at the apple before they finally gotten on the council. So I don't know. I don't know what else you can do to motivate people to vote. And when we were talking about the election coverage, Jeff says, get Ron Burgundy. I would love to have Ron Burgundy, except I'd be a little bit afraid of what his sign-off might be. And actually, Ron Burgundy is what inspired the spooky South Coast sign-off of Stay Spooktacular. His stay classy, you know, not the other one that he said. Not the other thing he told San Diego to do. But he'd say, you stay classy, San Diego. So at the end of the first spooky South Coast, like, it wasn't planned. I'm just sitting there, like, trying to think of, like, okay, what do I say to wrap this up? Like, I need to come up with something. So I was like, stay spooktacular. And then it just became a thing. So I think that you've got just a big, seething, festering, invasive case of voter apathy. And I don't know how you overcome that. I don't know what the antidote is for that. Because as I mentioned, you know, we do our part. I think people would say we do a pretty good job of hyping up the election. In fact, some people say we talk about it too much. You know, we get app chat messages and emails that say, oh, enough about the election. Nobody cares. Well, unfortunately, you're right. Looks that way. But we're still going to talk about it for a couple of reasons. One, it's important. It's a public service that we need to do here. And also, we care about it. We're interested, so we're going to talk about it. But again, it's I don't know what else you can do. 508-996-0500. I've got another break I've got to get in here, and I messed that up, so let me skip that. And all right, we'll be back in just a few moments.
You're waking up with the Tim Weisberg Show. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app.
And Trembly Bus Company desperately needs school bus drivers, monitors, and van drivers. Driving a school bus or a van is a great job for retirees, for stay-at-home parents, for anyone looking to earn great pay while supporting local students. If you are interested but don't have your CDL, they're willing to train you if you are willing to learn. For more information, visit tbcbus.com, TBC Bus for Trembly Bus Company, tbcbus.com. Join Trembly Bus Company today and help our kids get to school while helping yourself earn some great pay. All right, let's go to the phones. Good morning, you're next on WBSM.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how you doing, Tim?
Good, how are you?
Good, good. Hey, the election's over, so can't we just start talking about other things?
Well, I think it's important to talk about why people don't care about the election. I think it's important to find out why.
Right. Yeah, I understand that, but, like, I'd rather hear, like, other discussion, you know?
Well, we'll be talking about other things, but what's on your mind today?
Basically nothing.
I can't talk about nothing. They would just have dead air.
I was trying to figure, could we sell smoke?
Could we sell smoke?
Yeah, like if we put it in a mason jar and say it's Canadian wildfire smoke.
As like a collectible?
Yeah, do you think somebody would buy it?
I don't know. I once passed gas in a jar and gave it to somebody as a gift, so there was that. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if we want to start doing that.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, the election's over. See what happens, you know?
All right. Well, this is what we call the post-mortem of the election. This is what we, you know, the aftermath of it. So,
right.
Okay.
Like afterbirth. It's like afterbirth, basically.
And we're chewing on it like a cat.
That's a placenta, isn't it?
All right. Well, yeah, I don't know. I'm just doing whatever I can to gross out people that are eating their breakfast today, I guess.
I know, right? Just them slimy eggs and embryos. Okay, you have a good day, Tim.
You as well.
Bye-bye.
All right, I got one more break I got to get in here before the end of the hour. Let me do that. We'll be right back. All right, we're going to be going into the ABC News and the local news with Mike coming up in just a few moments. But there's a lot more that we are going to discuss. He had a story in the 6:30 news about some restaurants that are getting negative review bombed on social media and on some of these restaurant review sites like Yelp. They're getting bombarded with 1-star reviews, and the restaurants are like, what's going on here? What's happening? And they're all fake reviews from people that didn't actually go to them. And so it just got me wondering, how much do you pay attention to online reviews before you go to a place? How much do you pay attention to Facebook reviews and Yelp reviews and Google reviews?